All right, Chris Long, two-time Super Bowl champion, will join us in about 5 minutes. He's got a podcast out, the Green Light Podcast with Chris Long. When I hear the term green light, I think it's go time in Vegas, L.A., New York, you know, big night after a game. And I'm curious what his interpretation of that saying is, because he's used it to name his podcast. So we'll catch up with Chris in about 5 minutes. Al's brother later this hour with the filter. Al's brother will be bringing the heat around 5:30. We'll do the filter with Al's brother.
Love it.
And, yeah, that's going to be good, as always. And today is Bell Let's Talk Day. We can all keep listening, keep talking, and keep being there for ourselves and each other. Join us on Bell Let's Talk Day to put a spotlight on mental health. We've got a signing in the NHL. Jeff Carter gets a 2-year deal in Pittsburgh for about $3.1 million per, but what sticks out to me, he gets a full no-movement clause. No Weird. Trade, no move.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't a guy that age, you don't want to attach that to that type of contract? I don't know.
It just seems like a weird clause. He's been good for them. Like, he's had a good year.
Dude, no kidding. He hit the jackpot, because sometimes when they make that trade and the guy's older, it kind of fizzles out and you're like, okay, please just make this year end and you move away and go away and don't play again. But he's been dynamite for them, man.
He's been dynamite.
He kind of held the fort down for those guys a little bit when Crosby, Malkin, nothing was going on there. He was a big part of that. Now, did it warrant a 2-year extension? In their minds, it was, and good for him.
Yeah, well, listen, Brian Burke, when he got there, said, we're all in right now. We got Sid and Gino, and we've given up picks and prospects, and they got a really good team. Look at the resurgence they've had this year. Where
he also said Tampa. He mentioned Tampa and Florida. He's like, are we as good as them right now? He's like, clearly not. But I'll tell you what, right now they are.
Well, right now, the way they're playing with Rodriguez and Gensel and Carter and Tristan Jarry's been great. And Rust
and, yeah. And, well, Letang's had an unbelievable year, too. But, like, the one thing that I could look at, Sid's not going anywhere, but if Gino goes, there's your number two centerman, they believe. I mean, he's played like it this year. So, yes, he's 37, be 38 next year, but making $3 million. Like, Carter's been... he's been money for them, and that's a pretty low-value contract. Like, he's just looking, he's got 26 points in 36 games, and he's taken some pretty big minutes off of them. He's
just not a young guy. He's 36.
No, that's the thing. 37. He's 37 right now. So 38 and 39, those are the years for the contract. But, you know, you're going to – chances are you could lose Gino in the offseason. You do need some depth at that position. $3 million, like, they're not a team that's – crazily over the cap type of thing. They're not, you know, they certainly were a couple years back where it was, remember, they had to play shorthanded. They had cap issues. I don't know if you remember that.
And maybe that's why he got the no movement, no trade as a vet that will be an unrestricted free agent. You know, give me some dollars that I can live with. And he, like, I guess you compare him, you look at a guy like Corey Perry, same age, same draft year. They're all both in the 03 draft.
Right.
Perry, I believe, got 2 years, but isn't he at like $850,000 or something?
I think it was $750,000.
Yeah, so maybe $1 million. And Corey Perry has been put, maybe not as effective as Jeff Carter, and Carter plays up the middle of the ice.
Right.
But Carter gets 3-1. Perry's at $1 million. It just, you know, I guess that's what I look at him in that same kind of category as a guy who's up there in age that's had a really good career. Like, Jeff Carter has had a really good career.
Oh, two-time Cup champ.
Yeah, and was a big part of those L.A. teams. Went to the Cup final with that Philly team. I think it was was it 2010 or 11? That was when Kane scored the OT winner. I think Chicago's first Cup.
Pronger was on that team.
And, just a really, really good career, really good player, and he's playing well. But it might just be a sign also of Pittsburgh saying, we're willing to give up a little bit more because we're in a window here. We're in a 2 or 3 year window. And
sure.
If we can get a guy that's willing to stay and we can get him a little bit cheaper and float him something where we're not going to think of moving him because we're not going to be in a position to make deals. They don't anticipate unloading pieces. If anything, they'll try to find a way to add because they want to try to be in this bubble and window with Sid and win as much as they can.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the reasoning.
I mean, I don't see – like, I think when you look at the way that they're built – you know, with Gensel and Rust and, you know, Kasperi Kapanen is a guy you forget, like, he's only 25. Like, I always think because he's been around and it's been, you know,
flipped a couple times.
Right. Like, you know, Zach Aston-Reese, they got Danden Heinen there, Rodriguez, you mentioned. Like, they've got some younger pieces surrounded by older guys, correct? You know, with Letang at 34. You know,
what a young goalie, Tristan Jarry.
Yeah, and he's
and
good.
Cheap.
Yeah, yeah, he is. I mean, Jari's at 3.5 this year and next year. Casey DeSmith is at 1.25. He's going to be unrestricted. I think they might look for an upgrade in that position, but Jarry has stabilized them. So,
right.
They, you know, that team, I mean, what was it, 10 or 11 games they rattled off? Like, they've been
They really got
successful.
Themselves out of it. Yeah, they're in a good spot right now.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Jeff Carter. We'll see what Darren Dreger can tell us about that in about an hour. The Leafs have Anaheim in town tonight. And last time we saw this team would have been pre-COVID. You know, there's still a few teams in the league that haven't been through here since, you know, well before March 2020.
Right.
And it's, I think, Trevor Zegras, I think Jamie Drysdale. There's Getzlaf, though, also part of that 03 draft with Jeff Carter, and he's still chugging. And Troy Terry's been one of the stories of the year. So Anaheim can score. They've got a really good goalie in John Gibson, and this will be a test for the Leafs, and it'll be the first look at these new lines, which has been the talk of the week because they haven't played since Saturday night, is
right.
The adjustment of the lines and moving Nylander around and having Matthews playing with Bunting and Kasha. And I expect that'll be the story of the night, is just to see how it all plays out, you know, and how everyone fits in, and Mikheyev getting opportunities further up the lineup with Tavares and Marner. I think that's worthy as well because he's played really well. You know, he's scoring at a rate that's goals per game. He's top 7 or 8 in the league right now because of how much he scored in, on a limited amount of time based on injuries earlier in the season. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the hour. The Raptors are in Chicago taking on the Bulls tonight, and we're about a halfway home to the championship weekend in the NFL. There's four teams left, two games, and we got a guy on the line here, two-time Super Bowl champ. We've had him on the show before. He joins us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, and he is the host of the Green Light Podcast with Chris Long, longtime NFLer. Back on Overdrive, here is Chris Long. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, what's up, y'all? Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. We're intrigued by the name of your podcast because we use the term Green Light Special all the time. Like, if a team has a big game on the road in New York or Vegas or L.A., it's green light, which in other words means it's go time. They're going out after the game. Is that your interpretation?
Isn't that all the time for hockey guys, man? The hockey
Come on,
guys,
dude. As if football
lights,
guys
man.
Aren't the same way. As if football
no,
guys
we're
aren't
not.
The same. Yeah, yeah, right.
No, hey, listen, here's the thing. You guys don't have a choice. I would be the same way, but getting to know a lot of hockey guys, I hear about the beers on the road. Like, when we get to the hotel, we have a damn curfew.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
have meetings. Like, we'll
wait,
get
hey, look, I get that, but what about the other 5 days leading up to that? You're telling me you guys are watching movies at home on a Monday, Tuesday night?
Yeah,
wrong.
Me,
yeah.
Me, personally. No, nobody's going. Some guys go out on Fridays. Some guys go out on Fridays, but they're the young, fast guys. So
right.
I never really checked both those boxes.
Did you
yeah.
ever care about other guys, what they were doing, Chris? Like, I know you, like, you were a stud player, but did you ever have to say to guys, look, you might want to calm it down with this nonsense or whatever, or did you just turn the other way and say, you do whatever you want, I'm not going to get involved in other people's business?
Well, the best way to appeal to somebody, like, handling their business is reminding them that they're expendable, and so I just feel like those reminders are plenty in the NFL, you know, and if I could as a vet, you know, I try to maybe pull a guy aside, but for the most part, if a guy's really a train wreck, I'm the 15th guy in the building who's going to talk to him. So it's like, you know, you sink or swim. There's going to be a guy that for the most part can replace whoever you are. And so, yeah, as a leader, there's only so much you can say.
What, did you ever have a guy that was kind of a train wreck, but he got the job done and was just a stud and you never had to worry about?
You salute that. You got to salute
Me.
That. There you go. You just look in the
it.
Mirror and
yeah.
say, there's a green light special, but we're working, man. We're playing, and it's all working for us.
No, but it's green light. Just green light is just any topic, any, you know, any guest. Like, we don't care. It doesn't have to be football. We've talked about crazy stuff. We're pretty rangy. So plus, my favorite color is green, so it's nice that everything's green.
There you go. It works out. And we're chatting with Chris yeah. Long, and we have Luke Wilson join us weekly. And Luke has told us so many stories over the course of the year about, like, road games in a hotel or even home games in a hotel. And he said
yeah.
you're seeing, like, he has personally witnessed break and enter of a coach, like a coach breaking into his hotel room to make sure that they're in the room.
It's like really bizarre. I'm 33. All I want to do is sleep. I've got kids at home. Like, I'm at the hotel the night before the game, and I'm thinking to myself, like, this is my best night's sleep. And so you go to bed at 10 p.m. or something, and, I don't want anybody just walking in my room, so I latch the door. And so they always, without fail, boom, you know, open the door with their key card, you know, hey, you awake? I'm like, no, dude, we play a noon game tomorrow. I'm exhausted. You guys had me on my feet all week. Like, I want to sleep, so get out of my room. Yeah,
there's
Luke's
only
my guy,
one
too.
Reason. There's one reason that coaches would bang down doors, and it's because years ago, I think the dude's name was Eugene Robinson, the night before the Super Bowl.
Atlanta Falcons.
Yes, and he got busted with prostitutes, and everyone was like, dude, of all the days in your life, and this guy just finished winning some kind of humanitarian award, and he got busted, and it was like, what the hell's going on?
Well, I think he might have been. I don't know what was going on, but I do know that, like, they were breaking our doors down in St. Louis, and we never played in the Super Bowl, so they must have been real nervous.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder about that. If your team, like, if you're out of it, it's week 16. You're on a 4-win team that year. Like, why can't they leave you alone? Like, at that point,
it's a fear-based culture. Like, everybody's afraid. Like, right. You know, it's like, is rules, which I think there's a lot of good structure. And the reality is this, and, like, y'all know this, it's like there's some guys who handle their business, and you'd like to think everybody at the professional level is afraid of failing and not doing their job and letting their teammates down, but not everybody is. And so it's hard because you try to, in the ultimate team sport, have a one-size-fits-all rule book. You can't be like, well, Chris Long, I know he's in his room by 10 o'clock, but we got to check this 9-year vet's room because he's kind of a train wreck. You know, it's like, then you play favorites, and it kind of sucks that way. It'd be better if everybody just grew up, you know?
Absolutely. We're chatting with Chris Long, 2-time Super Bowl champ, longtime NFL. Check out his podcast, The Green Light Podcast with Chris Long. How does that apply, though, like the ultimate team sport, when it feels like the quarterbacks are perceived to be different, treated differently? Is it like it's a 52-man roster where everyone's on equal footing and that one guy's totally different, or what?
I think it depends, man. I think you also know that it's the ultimate team sport, but you can't win without one of those guys. Or, you know, the teams that win without an elite quarterback are, you know, are few and far between. You know, let's look at Jimmy G and the Niners. Like, he's not an elite quarterback. He's a guy that's been getting the job done. He's a guy that makes you nervous sometimes, but that's a team that somehow has gotten this far 2 out of 3 years with a guy that a lot of people are like, oh, I'd rather have the other guy, whoever it is on the other sideline. And so, yeah, for the most part, though, to win, you need a special guy. There's not really a special treatment thing that I've ever noticed. I mean, like, some quarterbacks can kind of be off to themselves a little bit because of the nature of, like, their job is a little bit different than everybody's. Like, we don't want them hitting people during the week. You know, they don't go through some of the same challenges we do, but they're fighting a totally different mental battle, you know, all week long, and they're under a lot of pressure. So, you know, kickers, punters, they have to work hard to be kind of considered one of the guys. Quarterbacks, like, we got no choice but to love them because we need them to win. You need kickers and punters too, but you're right. It's like a 51-man roster of, like, real football players, and there's a couple guys that, hey, we like having you around.
Right. It's a bit of a different process, the kickers. Like, do you ever have anyone that's trying too hard and you just say, it's not happening, man? You're not joining
us. No, kickers' best bet is honestly to come out and drink beer with the guys. And, you know, like, kickers and punters are actually increasingly cooler because – I think, honestly, and this is, I know hockey guys play a lot of golf, but, like, those guys are good golfers. They have a lot of time, you know, like, they don't even practice the whole time. Like, they're in there playing video game. They're in there playing Golden Tee. They're doing the stuff that hockey players do with their downtime, right? Like, we're out there repping the same plays a million times, and these guys have. So what happens is they make these social inroads where, you know, hey, they can go out and hit golf balls with the receivers and the D linemen. Like, it's they know how to make friends now. Johnny Hecker, I played with Johnny Hecker. He's one of the coolest specialists ever. Greg Zuerlein used to drink beer with us all the time. snappers are great guys usually. So specialists are people too, and yeah.
Well, I love it. I mean, they should be. Yeah. Like kickers, they're people too. They're in the room, and they're needed. And you know, they always come into the forefront. Yeah. They did last weekend, right? I mean, the first three games of the weekend ended with a kick to close out the games. And obviously the nightcap was Bills Chiefs, and that was a wild one. But I think there's a number of stories.
McPherson, 4-for-4 in Cincinnati. He's one of the guys now.
Right. Absolutely, right. Especially after he said what he said. Like, I guess we're going to the AFC Championship game. Let's go. You know, put the ball down. I'll kick it through.
That's the kicker I want.
That takes some stones for sure. Where do you stand on this kind of moving image and reputation of Aaron Rodgers and the role he's played in Green Bay this year? Because I think his reputation is drastically different today than it was 365 days ago.
For sure. I mean, and like, that's the risk you take when you show more of yourself. Like, you know, when you, hey, listen, we all do it. Like, we put our personalities out there and people learn more about us, and we're not the best quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. So like, that's the risk you take when you share your personal beliefs, and especially when some of them are a little bit like out there and by some people's standards, pretty misleading. I getting out of that, because I don't think it's relevant to the football. Obviously, you know, a lot of people can put thoughts in his teammates' heads and that sort of thing. Like, obviously his teammates like him, you know, like a lot of them. And how much of that has to do with how great he is and what a chance he gives them to win on Sunday? Like, I don't know where, you know, what the split on the pie chart is. But I do think that this team had a very good way about them this year. And I think a lot of it started with, you know, kind of that atmosphere that was created from the top. Like, this year was kind of a, hey, things have gotten so ugly here that, like, let's have fun. And they played loose. I do think, though, that when it comes to Rodgers and his legacy in the playoffs, you know, this loss is a big deal. You know, these getting up there in years, and it's no guarantee that you've got a roster like this. I mean, they had everybody back almost by this playoff game. And I actually thought they were the best team in the league. But the irony of, like, you know, nobody wants to go to Lambeau to play. How many times have you heard that? Like, they've lost a few games at Lambeau.
Absolutely.
As favorites in the playoffs. And the Niners were the team, to me, that was more built to play in the cold. You know, like, Aaron, once they took Devontae away early in the game and after the pressure started getting there, and really after that, if you remember, the biggest play of the game to me was actually the Mercedes Lewis fumble and the Fred Warner punch out. I mean, they're 7-0. They're driving. They're at the 40-yard line, and they're getting 8 yards of play. Fred Warner comes over and pops that ball out of Mercedes Lewis's hands. At the same time, Rodgers is starting to get hit, and they start bracketing Devontae Adams, and it's never the same. So, like, you know, when it comes to Aaron, the wishy-washiness about being in Green Bay, I don't think – I'd be surprised if he has the courage to jump ship, you know, because the grass is always greener, as he kind of alluded to. For all of the back and forth, they've had a pretty good team the last couple of years, and they've won a lot of games. And, you know, he's got to make throws to win games in big spots. He knows that. And even for a Hall of Famer, like, he didn't make them. And Jimmy made, as bad as he played, Jimmy made 2-3 really big throws. He made more big throws down the stretch. And, you know, so I don't know. It matters in a legacy conversation. I think the time that really screwed Aaron Rodgers, and you can't blame him for the special team stuff, but, you know, that onside kick that they dropped against Seattle in 2014, mm-hmm. You know, at that point it hadn't been 10, 15 years since the Super Bowl, you know, and if they'd have gotten one that year, and I think they were good enough, I think the conversation is totally different. But now it's getting late early. And, you know, we do these legacy talks, and it's hard to say you're one of the top 3-4 quarterbacks of all time with just one ring. Although what you see on the field tells you he is a lot of times. So it's really confusing.
You touched on something we bring up all the time that we can't reference because we haven't been in that spot. And that's the weather and the factor, you know, what kind of factor it will play in, because that was a topic all week. How are the Niners going to perform at Lambeau when it's freezing cold and snowing? And it didn't matter, clearly. I mean, both sides struggled with it, but it's not as if the Packers were so prepared and ready to take over. As a longtime player, you played on turf to start your career. You've been in domes, outside, in New England, Philly. Did the weather ever matter to you leading up to a game?
Well, I think it matters differently for different players. Like, you referenced the weather, you know, and San Francisco actually, I think, gets a boost from that weather. And I don't know why people didn't see that, because, like, their passing game is less prolific, okay? So, like, some of the things that as the snow starts to fall in the third quarter and people can't feel their hands, like, you know, well, they weren't trying to throw the ball anyways. You know, they're trying to go get to third and manageable, kick ass on first down, run the football, and kind of dictate the terms of that game. When you're a receiver, I'm sure you don't like weather. When you're a D lineman, I think it depends on what the weather is. You know, if it can be wet out, you know, honestly, some O-linemen think that's good because you think it slows the pass rush down. Some of us think, well, maybe people are sliding around, I can get somebody to drop. You know, it just depends on who you are. I actually love playing in the cold, and I think the biggest determination as a D lineman for, you know, kind of the type of game you're going to have is the surface. You know, like, I don't like field turf, but it does give you a really fast, kind of grabby surface to run on. And if you're a killer edge defender, and this is one of the things, like Von Miller, the Rams gave up the house to get him. Yeah, he's older, but we've never seen Von Miller rush on turf, like right at home, you know, with the other team on silent count. And his game is conducive to that being a big deal. When I got older, I lost some speed. I wasn't like a burn the edge guy anymore. So I wanted grass, you know. I wanted to feel good the next day. It's easier on your joints. And it's also grippier, like, for a power rusher. So, yeah, I like kind of slowing the game down and getting on grass and playing your angles and that sort of thing. It's just different for every position.
Chris, where do you stand on the OT rule? Obviously, you know, we're in the Buffalo, we'll call it Buffalo area, but there's
a lot of Buffalo area.
Yeah, we'll call it. But I mean, a lot of fans around here felt shortchanged that you know, Josh Allen didn't get an opportunity in OT. Where do you stand with the, you know, the ruling of that, and you know, think there potentially might be change in the future if maybe go the college route?
Yeah, well, maybe three things here. Number one, you know, like, I'm a Chiefs fan this week because my brother plays for the Chiefs. So I'm like, I was at Arrowhead for that game, and what an amazing game. And, yeah, I can understand some people feel like they felt like they were shortchanged, you know, that they didn't get to see Josh in the post, you're in overtime. Ironically, the Chiefs were the ones who complained about this a couple years ago. But I don't think there's anything that wrong with it. Like, listen, could it be better? Maybe. I don't know. You know, I had a college coach told me nothing good happens after midnight, like, which is not true entirely, but that you hear about nothing good happens after midnight. So stay out of the bars and like that sort of thing. Stay out of overtime, you know, like, you know, play to avoid going to overtime, because you know that a coin flip can dictate, you know, your season in some situations. And I've seen it in the Super Bowl. We won the toss, and defenders put their helmets on the ground because, like, Brady's going to score. You know, like, it's a reality. Now, I posited one possible change. This is kind of goofy, but can you imagine if you split the field in two? You had the Bills defense, the Chiefs offense on one side. You had the Bills offense, the Chiefs defense on one side, and you ran alternating plays starting at, say, the 45, and it's the first team to score. So, like, there's an interesting – and this is a wacky idea now, but there's an interesting kind of decision-making process from, like, do you matriculate down the ball down the field? Do you take shots early? And if you run out of downs, they move you back to the 45. We had this whole discussion on this thing the other day. I don't know what you guys think about simultaneous football, but I think it would be pretty fun. You rotate, you pick your play, you watch what's going on the other field, and then you run your play.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. I mean, it's totally doable because – You don't need the offense to be playing when the defense is on the field. I mean, you could set it up that way. I wonder where TV would come into play.
I think they need the – yeah, TV – well, TV would come into play, but you would alternate sides of the ball as they – so, like, one play would happen on this field to the right.
Right, of course.
Then the play would happen to the left. So people are looking and seeing, like, okay, the Bills just picked up a 15-yard chunk on their first play. Do I need to be aggressive on first down here? Or if you're the Chiefs, you're just kind of banking on the fact that you pick up 5 yards a pop, and on the other field, maybe the Bills are too aggressive, and don't get it on fourth and long and have to start at the 45 again, and the Chiefs are down to 25. So I think the NFL should, like, honestly fan source solutions, because this is something that people are relentlessly complaining about. Now, I would say this. We've complained about refereeing since the inception of football, and even more so after replays. Nobody's turned the game off, okay? Same thing with overtime. All those Bills fans, I get it, they're mad. They're going to be watching the Super Bowl. Probably, you know?
Yeah.
It's they don't have to change anything. You know what I mean? It just kind of sucks for you know, an instance like the other night.
No, that's the truth, man. You look at the ratings, the amount of money pouring in, the revenue. It really is not going to make a difference in terms of people actually deciding to be fans and tune in, for sure. But, yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's loud now. We'll see if it changes anything in the future. It's always great to catch up with you. Here's Chris Long, two-time Super Bowl champ, longtime NFL. Check out his podcast, the Greenlight Podcast with Chris Long. Enjoy this weekend. Good luck to your brother and the Chiefs, and we'll do it again down the road. Thanks, Chris.
Hey, thank you all so much. Take it easy.
You got it. There he is, Chris Long, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.
That would be kind of neat to have, you know, almost two plays going at once, right? Okay, you guys go, and then you go. Like, it's almost like you got to, like, dueling plays.
Yeah. Now, the thing about that is you'd have to really continue to hammer home the broadcast. You got to explain it to people, right? Like, it would be somewhat confusing.
I don't know about explaining anything. I think it's one of those rules, guys, where it's like, it sucked that one time, but that's football, man. It's like, it's almost better because it gets people in with the hate on afterwards. It's like, that's just football, man. Deal with it.
That's what Chris just said, right? It's not, the Bills fans are going to be back next year, and they're going to watch this weekend, and they might hate watch, and that's right. Your moment where you can always look back for 20 years or 30 or 40 or 50 and say, coin toss, coin toss, coin toss. It's like umpires, you know, the strike zone in baseball. Everyone hates it, but guess what? It gives you something to talk about and lean on and discuss. Right. And, you know, the more humanity you take out of it, the more gray area you take out of it, it does take away from the water cooler material. And that's ultimately what we're talking about, entertainment here.
And any potential changes that are coming up, like maybe get – instead of saying, oh, you know, get this person to adjust, get the best players in the world, get the best football players, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Donald, and put them in a room and say, what do you think about this stuff? And let them be the guys that can figure out what's the best thing for fans and what's the best for the sport.
Well,
forget about these panels of losers. Forget it. Ask the player.
Coaches that will come up with it, but you're right, and they can never.
Or some kind of Shanny and the boys had a competition committee where they just bounced stuff around, and they talked about penalties and what's acceptable and formats and 3-on-3 and penalty shots. It's some kind of competition committee to talk about it.
Yeah.
See what they say.
That would be cool.
Well, I don't think it was a coincidence that Josh Allen fell on the sword and just accepted that was his reality, because I think he knows the next time it could be on the opposite foot.
You're right.
You know, that's the thing. You got to watch what you wish for. Like, after the Chiefs got burned in 17 or 18, it was a few years ago, when the Pats went in there, and then, like Chris Long said, Brady won the toss. Everyone knew Brady was charging down and scoring. The game was over. Andy Reid, I believe, brought it to the coaches committee, the idea of changing up the rules, and it got shot down. And now Andy Reid's ecstatic it did, because he benefits from the fact that nothing changed. A few years later, they win the toss. They go on. Now they're playing Cincinnati this weekend. And if you're the Bills, you got to hope the next time that this comes around, you win the toss. But can you imagine if you're in the same situation a year from now and it comes down to a toss, the nerves of calling it? I wouldn't want to call it. If I'm Josh Allen, I'd say put someone else out there.
It's not his fault.
It is your fault, though. You call heads or tails.
Yeah, but
you call heads or tails, you get it wrong. That's partially your fault. You could have called the other one. It's a 50-50 shot.
Right,
but
I mean, it's a gamble. It's not like he has any backstory.
Of course, no. But you could have picked the other one. Is the point?
Yeah, could have. Yeah,
you're a cooler. You're a cooler.
Yeah, all right. But I just think, you know,
I would
always go with heads. Always go with heads. That's how I always feel.
That's what we learned this weekend. Yeah,
it's always go with heads.
All right, Al's brother's coming up. The filter. Al's brother's got some tweets that he'd like to send out, or other people that we know, friends of ours, I believe, might be thinking of possibly sending some tweets out, and we'll go through us, and it's got to go through us in order for it to actually happens. Wells Brother and the Filter are coming up. Darren Dreger in just over half an hour. The Leafs and Raptors are in action tonight. We'll keep teeing that up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
No filter?
You have no filter.
That's
not obvious.
That's true. That's
you
a good thing.
You say whatever comes into your mind.
Yeah.
You don't really modulate your inner feelings at all.
Yeah, it's a good thing for me, but it's a bad thing for water.
All right, so we haven't played this game in a while. The Filter is, there he is, Al's brother. This is the brainchild of Al's brother. And I think, oh, you two, you know, connected. And you're putting in time. And what's so funny? But
I don't know why Noodles is laughing.
Noodles
as soon as he
I'm
heard
laughing.
The word brainchild.
It always
brainchild.
Comes up and there's like, there's just, I mean, we all
head.
Have different looks. And there's just AB, just this giant head, like floating it's, head in there. I'm like, it's just the angle that. That your setup is. Believe me. Because
like,
it's
a tighter shot, right?
Like, yeah,
it's a tighter shot.
Shot.
I don't know.
Tighter shot.
Well, that's what it is, right? It's just a big head, and you guys are all kind of back. And I can't do that based on my setup.
Yeah,
so
no,
this
I
is
get
what
it.
We got to work with.
Yeah, it's
get
all
it.
Good, like, man.
My
it's
big,
good.
Ugly mug right there.
We're just, boom. We're just happy to have you here, Al's brother.
We love you, IB. You're the best.
We're about 48 hours away from making our picks, and a big part of it's going to be the grappler and pulling the name out of the hat. I don't know which game you'd prefer. I don't know if you've been thinking that way yet, but
I have. I don't know if I have a preference. Like, these are going to be two difficult games. Like, they're pretty good. They're pretty good matchups. I mean, it's going to be difficult to top what we just saw last weekend, but I think it's still going to be some nice football this week.
I think it'll be great. All right, so the way this works is historically, you have tweets you want to send out. You got tweets in the archives or in the chamber that you want to send out. But before you can send it out, you got to go through us, the filter. We will filter your tweet. We will either say send it, end it, or the nuclear option, just delete your account and never go back on Twitter because it's so bad. So is that how we're going to continue to do this, or what's the plan here, Al's brother?
Yeah, it's the same parameters, except I reached out to some of the Toronto sports folk, and I asked them, hey, do you have some things that you want to run through the filter, and we could ask the boys and see what they think? A couple of takes that they've had and have been chilling in their drafts, so I thought, you know what, send me a pic of that thought, and we'll run it through the filter here on OD.
Okay, I love it. So the floor is yours, Al's brother. You take it away.
Let's start with the first one from our good pal Jonas Siegel. So Jonas Siegel wants to know, and he tweets, Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner could be just as productive apart as they are together. What do you think, the guys?
It's an interesting one from Jonas.
There's so many different angles to it. Well, they both have to produce. They both have to be doing great things. I'm going to say send it because they're paid to do that. They're paid to drive whatever line they are on, and I think they're talented enough for Jonas's take to come true where it's like, although you like playing with good players, I don't know. I'm going to say send it, though, because they should be doing that, Hazy.
Okay, so are we talking – I just have one clarification. 5-on-5? You're just talking like, you know, set up on a regular 5-on-5.
Yeah, line mates 5-on-5.
I'm saying
I think we're
save,
just talking like
it.
A general generality.
General. I'm saying save it because tandems are special. You don't just show up and start, you know, hey, chemistry like Kasha and Matthews tonight. Kasha could give him a good look and Matthews has the ability to close it off, but are you going to do it consistently? Like that's where I'm going to say put it into your drafts, but don't send it because I think those two, there's a reason why you use the word chemistry, and they have it. So I'm saying put in the drafts.
Okay, I'm going to send it for a couple of different reasons. One, I think productivity, the definition of that, I'm looking at it through the lens of the team overall. You know, how is this going to help the team overall? And I think them
wins?
Being separated. Wins? I absolutely. I think they can continue to win if they're not playing together. I also got to think. I think you got to remember, Marner is going to play with Tavares. He's not going to play with Freddie the Goat. You know, like
right.
Marner's still going to chuck.
Now watch yourself.
Put up numbers. That was inappropriate. I take that back. And Matthews, I think is if you're the best pure goal scorer in the world, could it be a slight drop off? Yes, but I think he's capable of creating on his own. I think he's still playing with Bunting and Kasha, who are good players who have connected with him in the past. Bunting's been riding shotgun with him all year, and I think the two of them have some cohesion. So I'll send it. I'm sending it in terms of the definition of productive.
Al's brother, quickly before we move on, you send it, or what do you do with it?
I think I am sending this one as well. I think that bringing the depth in the lineup here, and we'll get a chance to see what it looks like tonight because obviously they're playing a part. Hopefully that we get some production all throughout the lineup. All right, let's move on to the next one, and this one is from me. I do have a take that I need to run through you guys. I love the idea of seeing the Leafs trade for Claude Giroux. Make it happen, Dubas.
This is nonsense. Why?
Nuclear. Yeah. Nuclear. This is delete your account.
Delete your account.
Okay, but at what expense?
A massive.
Like, who's going out? Like, here's a 30-year-old.
You have your own show about the NHL, and you're thinking of stuff like that? You can't. You can't be doing it. That's Joe from the Bridge.
Okay, just backstory again. Who's going out for Giroux? Because is it one of these ridiculous, like, Justin Hall and a fourth rounder? Yeah,
Josh Ohsang and his bronze medal.
Like, you
here's an
get
option
a hell
for
a
this
player.
Segment. Only ghost account. This is only ghost account because you can just float it out there and see what happens.
Yeah, that's an egg avatar.
Egg avatar ghost account. Go ahead. Other than that, get it out of your head.
It's an EA Sports. It's moment, stupid. Al's brother. It's let's bring on anyone that's available. And Giroux is a good player that would help the team, but it's unnecessary. It's just attacking the wrong part of the lineup.
Right.
They've already got Marner, Nylander. You look up the middle, Giroux I don't think is going to play up the middle. Is, you know, you got Tavares and Matthews there. It's just not – this isn't the team to fit, and it's going to cost you a lot to go get them. So use your resources elsewhere. Go and find the equivalent of a Claude Giroux available on the back end. So I just can't support this, Al's brother.
Yeah.
It'd be a nice luxury add.
Yes, it
though.
Would be. Yeah. It would be.
So you could add,
unnecessary, but absolutely would be. All right, what else do we have?
Let's move on to the third one. I think we got one from the big guy, O-Dog himself. Take a look at O-Dog. I think my Bengals can go full Cinderella and get it done. Hashtag rule the jungle.
Wow.
Okay, is this against the Chiefs or are we talking Super Bowl here?
This looks like Super Bowl to me.
I'm talking the whole shebang.
Okay.
Wow.
Well,
full Cinderella.
I'm going to send it because they're in the dance. Like, there's four teams left. I don't think they're going to be Kansas City. I'm picking Kansas City on the money line. I think Kansas City might roll in terms of the spread, but we'll get to that in about 48 hours. But they, you know, Joe Burrow is there's something mystical about this guy. Like, he shows up. Look what he did with LSU. No one knew who he was before he went on that championship run. Mm-hmm. The first two wins, he hasn't been overly explosive, especially in the second half, right? Like, in the second half, he's just kind of got the job done when need be and set up field goals to win it, and his defense is held on. But if you can beat Kansas City, clearly you can beat one of the Niners or the Rams. So is it a foregone conclusion that they absolutely can't do it? I can't commit to that. So I guess I have to send it by default. I will send it based on the circumstance. Bengals are one of four teams left. Send it.
One of my best buddies has been a diehard Bengals fan, like, my whole life, like his whole life. I'd like to see them win. I just don't believe they will. So where does that fall? Put it in your drafts?
Delete it.
Get it the hell out of there. I just don't believe in it.
Okay.
I'm probably in the middle here where I think you could put it in the drafts, and then if they come out and they beat Mahomes and the Chiefs, then you send it.
Well, that's what
you put things in the drafts for. You figure you get more information, and then you feel comfortable enough to send it.
That's not more information. That's a result.
That's not a weather report.
I think McDavid's going to score tonight. You tweet out. It out after,
after
he scores.
After he scored. Exactly. Right? McDavid for the OT winner tonight. Oh, he did it. Hey, I better go find that draft.
I had a feeling.
Not a bad idea. Go ahead, Al's brother.
Yeah. Okay, what else do we have, Al's brother?
All right, let's bring one up from Bob Weeks. A Canadian man or woman will win a golf major this year.
Canadian man and woman will win golf majors this
both?
Year.
Both? No. I love Corey. Mackenzie Hughes having himself a day, but there's been one Canadian male to ever win a major. It's not nuclear because they're good players and they're in the hunt, and I think a guy like Corey Connors could get hot. I absolutely believe that can happen. I think Mackenzie Hughes can get hot, and it's a four-round event. Brooke Henderson can win a major. Like, obviously,
he's the top four or five female golfer in the world.
But if it's either or, I might say send because I could see Brooke doing it. She had a great start to her campaign last weekend. But I don't see a Canadian male winning a major. So
why couldn't Corey Connors or Mackenzie Hughes win a major on a tight, tough golf course, ball striking, all
that
stuff?
It's not could. The tweet said they will. So
right.
I'm going to send it,
and when this happens, I'm going to bring this one back up and show you, Hazy. I think it can happen.
I think
Brooke
right.
Henderson yeah. is a lock for a major, and there's 9 Canadians quality golfers.
All right.
Quality
I like
doesn't
my chances.
Cut it at the U.S. know. Open or at St. Yeah, Andrews
I'm
or Augusta.
Say, that's a draft one, but you either have to send it or flush it. I would say flush it
yeah.
based on statistics.
And Brooke Henderson is not a lock to win a major.
I'm telling you right. I'll bet you 500 she does.
Fine.
Well, I'd love
it.
To see it.
So would I. Of course I would. But you give me the 10 field.
10-1 odds. You give me 10-1 odds, though.
Oh, all of a sudden, there we go. The bet gets locked in, and then it's 10-1 odds.
That's the text line,
yeah,
going
exactly.
back to the text
I'll
chain.
Take Koepka instead of Berger. Eagles the first hole. Good thing I kept Berger. Just fraudulent.
All right, moving along here. Moving along, Al's brother.
Do you have time, or you want to go?
Yeah, we got time for another one. Well, do you want to break
more?
And come back? Do you have more in the chamber here? Go for it.
Here it is right here. There it is. Our boy, AK, it's become crystal clear. Not a doubt in my mind that the sport with the brightest future, excluding hockey, for Canadian athletes is tennis. And for those on TSN 4, you can also look at a picture of Mark Rowe. You're welcome.
Yeah, Mark Rowe's doing spectacular work.
God,
as
he is
does.
A stud, that guy. Yeah, just a stud. Masters.
The voice of tennis in Canada.
Well,
voice of tennis.
OJ Aliassime had the opposite experience of Shapovalov during the match, but the same result in the end. He's up 2 sets on Medvedev. You think it's done. And he ends up losing in 5, where Shapo was down 2 to Nadal.
Yeah.
I'm going to end it. I think basketball is second in line. And quite frankly, I think soccer is right there with it. Look what our national teams are doing. They're in Honduras
yeah.
tomorrow night. If the national team on the men's side punches a ticket to the World Cup.
Well, I think women's already there.
Of
like,
course
you got to include that as well,
just
right?
Won the gold medal, exactly. Like tennis. You need Andreescu going. You need Fernandez to be more consistent. I know what she did at the U.S. Open, but she loses in the first round at the Aussie Open. I do think Shapovalov and Ojeda Aliassime are legitimate like contenders. It feels like every single tournament they're in, any slam anyway. Like
right.
the quarters feels like it's more than reasonable they both get there or at least sniff it. But can they get any further? We'll find out. But I put soccer ahead of it, basketball still ahead of it. So I'm going to end that.
Yeah. I'm going to flush it, too. Complete
yeah, I'm
flush.
Flushing it. Yeah, it's not.
Shout out to Mark Rowe, though.
Oh, yeah, we love yes. Mark Rowe.
And AK.
He has the face.
And AK.
Yeah,
yeah Korolnik for sure. All right, do we have any more for the other side here, Al's brother? I don't know if you want to keep it for after dark. We can do it at – you want to do a filter after dark?
I think we can do a filter after dark. I got one more in the chamber that I think we could fire out
nice.
Around 6:50.
Nice.
Okay, filter
wow.
after dark in an hour. I can't wait. I'm very intrigued by what that
oh,
could
it's
be.
It's a goodie. It's a goodie.
Okay, so Darren Dreger coming up in about 20 minutes. The Leafs and Raptors are both in action tonight. I'm taking back Billy Horschel, too. It's not fair that I gave you Horschel because now he's at 8-under. He's – through 14.
No, you can have him, dude. I know that guy will choke his
all
guts
right, what, what's
out.
Well,
going
but Ricky
on
Fowler,
here?
Like, anyway, we'll discuss that. We'll get to the bottom of it. He
I'm fine with you
out.
Having Horschel.
I don't want Horschel. I gave you Horschel for me to get Fowler. Fowler's, where is he now? He's choking, I think. Fowler
trunk,
is even,
trunk slamming.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to the bottom of that. I hope Ricky Fowler keeps it together. He probably won't even make the cut now. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050N on TSN 4. All right, filter after dark in about an hour. Darren Dreger in about 10 minutes. It's our buddy, one of our favorites, Bob Uecker's birthday today.
Wow.
88 years old. He's not a buddy. We've never met him, don't know him, never talked to him before. But we love Bob Uecker. Well,
just
Doyle.
A bit outside.
There he is.
Legend.
The best. Harry
Legend.
Doyle.
I thought
he's
that
the best color man in the league for nothing, folks.
I thought that guy was an actor. I didn't think that he was a real big play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
Dynamite drop-in money. That broadcast school has really paid off.
He's the voice of the Brewers. He's been doing
dude,
Brewers
I thought for
forever.
Sure that there's no way in hell that that guy's an actual broadcaster.
I know. He's so
because he just comes across as an actor.
Yeah, yeah, like his career is wild. He was a player. He was a catcher. He made it to the major leagues. I don't think he played long. And then he's been doing play-by-play for the Brewers. He does Brewers radio. He's been doing it for like 60 years or something. And he was in all those Miller Lite commercials back in the day, and he got into movies. He was in Mr. Belvedere. Remember that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Or that show? That show,
that show
Mr. Belvedere?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was in that. And I guess he was famous for going on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson all the time. And
He seems like a guy that would have a drink and a smoke on Carson and just hang out. Exactly.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside.
Everyone don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the best. Harry Doyle, yeah. Major League. So, yeah, shout out to Bob Uecker, who's 88 today. We'll get into what Aaron Rodgers had to say about people rooting against him and the Packers and why. And just something bothering me. Like, you wouldn't believe how much it's pissing me off hearing this guy these days. So we'll get to that. Darren Dreger will join us. Al's brother will be back into the swing of things at around 6:25. We'll tell you why. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.